Lord Jesus, this morning bring us into the New Jerusalem. Lord Jesus, grant us the vision to see what is on your heart desire. Give this moment meeting to you. We need you to recalibrate us, to adjust us to the central line of the Bible. Oh, we give this meeting to you. Lord, be with us. Bring us into the New Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. We have shared message 8 this morning concerning the New Jerusalem. The general subject of this conference is the central line of the Bible. Since there are something in the Bible called the central line of the Bible. When I review this message, I feel quite fresh. I feel it's quite impressive, the central line of the Bible. Since do you recognize or believe that there's a something called the central line of the Bible? Maybe you will ask. Then, if I do not want to recognize this matter of the central line of the Bible, or I have another line, what will happen? Well, we'll see later about the danger, the peril of not to keep the central line of the Bible. But before doing that, I want to share a little bit concerning the historical background of this message. If you take the outline yesterday on message 1, there's a small line called "This message has been taken from the note for the fellowship from our dear brother Witness Lee with some trainers in the full-time training in Anaheim in 1996, January. You know, in 1994, when Brother Lee talking with some leading brothers from Taiwan, he told the brothers, he said, "Brothers, you need to be wake up because the Lord's recovery has entered into the new age. So you have to learn the new culture and need to speak the new language." So, on 1996, Brother Lee changed all the curriculum in the full-time training in Anaheim and also in Taipei. For example, in the early turn of the training, there's a lesson called the All-Inclusive Christ. But later, Brother Lee changed his subject into Christ's full ministry in his three stages: the incarnation, the inclusion, and the intensification. At that time, I was asked by the brothers to serve in the full-time training in Taipei. The first job they assigned to me is to change the curriculum in the full-time training. There's a lesson which was brotherly talk about, the central line of the Bible. We take it as a core lessons. Of course, we do have some supplemental lessons like the kingdom, the church, and we also have some kind called the branches and leaves. But what we emphasize is these three major items, the central line of the Bible. This morning, I want to challenge you to memorize all these 7 points. I tell you, it's very easy. I give you the secret, and then you will memorize all these 7 points. In our Christian belief, first we have what? First, we have the Word of God, right? And all the Word of God, the Bible, has been structured over the triune God. So we have a second item, the triune God. And this very triune God, he has an economy. He has a dark desire that is called God's economy. So we have a third item, God's economy. And the center of God's New Testament economy is center for what? It's center of the all-inclusive Christ. So, which item? Fourth item. And this all-inclusive Christ becomes the life-giving, compound, sinful, intensified spirit. So we have fifth item, the spirit. And the spirit regenerated us to become the church, eventually consummated into the body of Christ. So we have six items, the body of Christ. And what is the consummation of the body of Christ? New Jerusalem. So the seven items, very easy, right? First we have what? The Word of God. The Word of God is centered for what? Triune God. Triune God has a what? Economy. The center of economy is? And the oil in Christ become the? Life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit produce the body of Christ. The body of Christ consummated into the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah! Speak to your neighbors. These seven items. Amen. The Word of God, the Triune God, the God's intent to tell me, God is in Christ. Hallelujah. Very easy to memorize, right? Amen. Do it again. Amen. First, we have what? The Word of God. The Word of God is structured over the Triune God. Triune God has an economy. Center of economy is the all-inclusive Christ. All-inclusive Christ become the life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit that produce the body of Christ. The body of Christ eventually consummated into the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah! This is called the central line of the Bible. Very easy to memorize, right? Amen. Okay. Then, you may ask, what if I do not want to keep, or I do not recognize, I don't admit there's such a thing called the central line of the Bible? What will be happen? I tell you, I suggest you read this book. Ah, it's Chinese, sorry. I don't have an English copy. This book is called The Practical Talk to the Elders. I suggest you buy this book and read. Brother Lee say, if you do not keep this central line of the Bible, you will face two perils. One is emptiness. The other is the division. Peril? Okay, peril. Brother Lee, using the example of Brethren Assembly as an example, he said that the English Brethren, they had the best gospel preaching. They had the most scripture way to meet. They had the best exposition for the Bible. But still, there's a division. You know where the division comes from? If there is not something solid, they will have the division. For example, it's very easy for you to crush the shell of the egg, right? But it's very hard to crush a metal or a wood, because it has something solid. Brother Lee said that the English Brethren, they had the most scripture way to meet. They had the most accurate exposition of the prophecy for the type of the Bible. But there's no center. There's no substance. There's nothing solid. So eventually, they become divided. Since, if we do not keep in this central line of the Bible, sooner or later, no matter how diligent you are, no matter how many you have put, eventually you will encounter these two perils, the division and the emptiness. So, if you want to ask, then how could we avoid these two perils? Then I tell you, you have to look at the Bible. In the very end of the Bible, it shows us at the very end of this age, there's only something remain. Do you know what items remain in the Bible? I tell you, when you look at the last two chapters of the Bibles, you will see there's only one item remains in this universe, which is the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. If you want to look at what will remain forever, what is something substantial, something has some essence, then you have look at the New Jerusalem. In the New Jerusalem, we have what? We have the Lamb God. We have the Spirit, and the Spirit and the Bride say, comes. We have the throne of God. We have the word of God. And of course, we have the city of New Jerusalem. So, eventually, I mean the central line, the seven items we have mentioned in this conference will remain forever. All the other terms, not to mention the negative terms, even some positive terms will not remain forever. So, for us, since we all love the Lord, right? We want to build up something which will last forever. And if you want to build up something which will last forever, you must look at this central line of the Bible.
Amen.
Maybe you still do not understand why only these seven items will last forever. I'll give you some stories. You know, during this training, there's a brother who was asked by Brother Lee to teach a lesson called The Kingdom and the Church in the full-time training center. And at the beginning, he feels so wonderful because the kingdom is very important. And the church is also very important. But later on, he found out, oh, this is called the supplemental point. He was a little bit disappointed. Wow, asked me to teach some supplemental point. I was a little bit disappointed. But I tell you, the church which we mentioned now is composed of more than 80% in the physical realm. The physical building, the physical the structures, the practical the church affairs are mostly in the physical realm. And the heaven and the earth will pass away. Only the word of God shall by no means pass away. Only something which will last forever. Have you ever seen in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul built many churches. He established the church in Philippi. There are seven churches in Asia. Where are they? Where are they? Where is the church in Philippi right now? Where is the church in Ephesus? Where is the church in Laodicea? There are no more. They all stay in Turkey right now. There are no church building there now. But I tell you, the body of Christ will remain forever. Even the kingdom is only last for 1,000 years. But praise the Lord, the New Jerusalem will last forever. This is the reason why we pay attention to this seven point of the Bible, the crucial line, the central line of the Bible. Amen. Of course, I want to say some word for recalibration. You know, that doesn't mean we don't pay attention to this our predicts. That's what we mean. Brother Lee said that there are two very famous persons. One is J.C. Penrose, Mrs. J.C. Penrose. The other is T. Austin Spark. Because they only pay for something central, but they don't have the practical practice, so they do not have the spiritual offsprings. Today, you went to England. Several years ago, there are some brothers, some co-workers, went to England to visit a place where T. Austin Spark to care, preach his ministry. And they found out in that place, they even do not sell the books of T. Austin Spark. Not many people know T. Austin Spark, who he is, because he do not have a spiritual offspring, because he lacks of the proper church practice. But nevertheless, when we preach the gospel, what do we preach? We preach the New Jerusalem. Yeah. Amen. What the content of our gospel preaching? We preach the triune God. We preach God's economy. On the last day, what do we prophesy? We prophesy the triune God. Prophesy God's economy. So all the practice in the church life, the gospel preaching, the prophesies in the meeting, the shepherd the new one, should all relate to this central line of the Bible. But sorry to say that, today, many Christians, including us, sometimes we pay too much attention to these supplemental points, to these leaves and branches, without paying attention to this central line. So sometimes we feel that the church life is somehow a little bit emptied, do not have so much essence in it, because we do not pay attention to the central line of the Bible. So, praise the Lord. Amen. This morning, we come to the last point or this central line, the New Jerusalem. I look at the book called The Practical Point Concerning Branding. In that message, in that book, message 3, Brother Lee said, after I studied the Bible for 69 years, what did I saw? He said, I saw the New Jerusalem. He said, this is my vision. This is my revelation. And this is my ministry. When you look at the Living Stream publication, there are so many items. And all are very rich. And all are very good. But Brother Lee said, after he studied the Bible for 69 years, what did he saw? He saw a greatest vision in the Bible, the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
They say, the divine revelation concerning the Garden of Eden, created by the eternal triune God, and the divine revelation concerning the New Jerusalem, built up by the process and consummated triune God, reflected each other. So, as our brother shared with us yesterday, in the beginning, Genesis, what do you have? You have Garden of Eden. And what do you have at the end? You have the New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And these two items reflected one another. Two said, what is revealed in these two parts of the divine revelation in the Holy Scripture is the central line of the divine revelation throughout the entire Holy Scripture. This central line should be a controlling principle to our interpreting and understanding of the Holy Scriptures. Okay, we have this goal. According to the mathematics, what is the short distance between two points? Straight line. Right? But I tell you, in the Bible, this is the Genesis, this is the Revelation. Between Genesis and Revelation, there are many lines in the Bible. You realize? I tell you, there's a line called the tree of knowledge. Right? There's also a line called Satan. At the beginning, he is a serpent. And eventually, he becomes a dragon. Right? There's also the sun, some negative line between this point. But I tell you, there are also some positive lines, such as foot washing, keeping the Sabbath, head covering. There are also some positive turns in the Bible. But I tell you, between this point, there's only one line. The shortest line, the direct line, the central line, which will bring us into the eternity. This is called the central line of the Bible. The central line of the Bible, the Word of God, the triune God, God's economy, all-inclusive Christ, the Spirit, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, this central line will bring us into the ultimate consummation of God's heart desire in this universe. Point number 3 said, God's eternal intention for us to become the New Jerusalem is seen in Genesis 1 and 2 as the organic blueprint, the architectural plan for the triune God, and in Revelation 21:22 as the finished product, the organic masterpiece of the triune God to be model of what we are and how we work. Amen. Blueprint. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have a blueprint to reach this ultimate goal. Somebody tell me, a brother who is an architect told me, there's a very famous architect in the 20th century called Frank Lloyd Wright. He has a studio not far away from the meeting hall. He's the first one to initiate this concept called organic building. Right? But I tell you, the real organic builder in this universe is God himself. Hebrews 11:10 tells us Abraham waited for a city whose builder and whose architect is God himself. Amen. Organic building. Organic footprint. There are also some church called organic church, right? We have some brother come from organic church. Amen. It seems very good. But later, I find out from the internet that this so-called organic church can only last for 6 months to 2 years in average. So that is not what we call the organic building. Amen. The organic building should bring us into the eternity. Amen. So, A say, man is a vessel created according to God's kind that may might contain and express him. A, 1, God created man in his image and according to his likeness, making man a duplication, a copy of himself for his glory, his expression. Okay, this is the blueprint and this is the finished product. God do everything according to the blueprint. And if you look at the finished product, you will find out everything in this finished product is exactly the same as it designed in his blueprint. Look at Genesis 1. God created man according to his image and his likeness, right? Do you saw the New Jerusalem have the image of God? God created man so that man can represent him. Do you see in the New Jerusalem, eventually, all God's created, redeemed, transformed, and glorified tri-titled person had the authority to represent God? I tell you, if you look at these verses, in Revelation 20, he said that the city of New Jerusalem had the glory of God. And this glory of God is like the jasper. And in Revelation 4:3, he said the one, which is God himself, sit on the throne, had the appearance of jasper. If we put these two jasper together, God had the appearance of jasper. The New Jerusalem also had the appearance of the jasper. That means the New Jerusalem, the transformed, the redeemed, and the glorified tri-type person had the image of God, so that God's created man to have the image has been fulfilled in the New Jerusalem. Is that what be wonderful? In the New Jerusalem, we have the image of God. Today, maybe we do not express God so much, but praise the Lord, in the New Jerusalem, we can express God corporately for his image. Not only so, the New Jerusalem also have his authority to represent him. You know that in Revelation 21, he said that the overcomer shall reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But in 22, in the New Jerusalem, he said they will reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Eventually, we will reign with Christ forever and ever. Amen. What does that mean? That means we have authority to represent him. So, organic print fulfilled in the finished product. Amen. Wonderful. Point 3. God created man with a human spirit to contact, receive, and contain God. Within us, we have the two lamps, the Spirit of God and our spirit, shining and enlightening our inward part to supply us with the divine life so that we can become the city of life. Not only the image and authority, even God created a spirit for us. And this spirit is a light, is a lamp of God. If we let this lamp shine from us, within us, search us, then this light will shine forth through us. Then we will become the city of light. What is the New Jerusalem? The New Jerusalem is called the city of light. Today, if we shine forth this light, then we will become the city of light, the New Jerusalem. Amen. B says, B under number 3, said, okay, let's read together this point. Amen. We became the Amen. Oh, we can become the New Jerusalem by exercising what? Our spirit. Amen. You say, you always say that. Exercise spirit. Exercise your spirit. Exercise your spirit. It's everything in the church life. I tell you, there's a basis. In the book of Judah, verse 19 to 20, he first said, there are somebody called the soulish people who cause division. They do not live in the spirit. That do not mean they don't have the spirit. It means that they have the spirit, but they don't exercise their spirit. They don't use their spirit. So they look like a person without the spirit. They are the soulish people. But on the contrary, he continued to say what? He said that, but you, beloved, build up yourself upon the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto the eternal life. Saints, do you know what is unto eternal life? In John chapter 4, verse 14 says that he who believes in him, the Lord will install in him a spring of the living water. They will gush out unto the eternal life. Unto eternal life means to unto the new Jerusalem. So those who exercise their spirit will live in the reality of the new Jerusalem. They will gush up the living water unto the eternal life. Since we can exercise our spirit now. Amen. We don't need to be, one day we become the new Jerusalem or we enter into the new Jerusalem. As long as you exercise your spirit now, you turn to your spirit. You say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I turn to you. I turn to my spirit. Then spontaneously, you are in the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Amen. We can all be in the new Jerusalem this morning. Amen. 4. Say, God has imprinted eternity in man's heart. Amen. The Amplified Bible says that the eternity is a sense of purpose which nothing under the sun but only God can satisfy. Sense? Can you sense that there is something longing within you? That long for something permanent. That long for something which can last it for eternal. That is being created by God. And nothing under the sun can satisfy us except God himself. Amen. So when we turn to our spirit, we turn our heart to the Lord, praise the Lord, can receive something eternal, then we can be in the reality of the new Jerusalem. Amen. B say, the Lord's recovery is to recover us, his church, from sins seen to sins unseen, from sins that are temporary to sins that are eternal. This eternal sin also have a special characteristic. That is, these things are things unseen. Can you see the triune God? No, you cannot see it. Can you see the spirit? No, you cannot see it. You can see the church, but you cannot see the body of Christ. At 12:30, our meeting will be dismissed. In a sense, the church life was not appear, but praise the Lord, the body of Christ will last forever. There are something called unseen sin in the Bible which will last forever. The triune God, the God's economy, the spirit, the all-inclusive Christ, the body of Christ, the new Jerusalem will be last forever because these are sin unseen. But today, most of us just pay attention to those things seen, easily seen, right? Our education, our career, the money, the children, everything since sin. But I tell you, there's a principle in the Bible. Those things, sin, are just temporary. But those things, unseen, will last forever. The new Jerusalem, the triune God, constituted into us, will last forever. Amen. Okay, let's read B together. Amen. The tree of life is the center of God's economy. One, the tree of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the New Jerusalem, God not only created man, but there's also the tree of life in the center of the Garden of Eden. And this tree of life signifies this crucified and resurrected life become our cure. In Exodus chapter 15, when the children of Israel went to a place called Marah, They encounter some water. They thirst, but the water is bitter. So the God showed Moses to cut a tree and put it into this bitter water, and the water becomes sweet, and they can drink it. Whenever we have this crucified Christ, our bitter water will become sweet. Why do you feel that your life is so bitter? Why do you feel that your human living is nonsense? Because you do not have the tree of life. You don't want to die. You don't want to die to yourself. So there are so many bitterness in your daily living. So what should we do? We cannot kill ourselves. We need the tree of life. We need this crucified and resurrected Christ. Whenever this crucified Christ comes into our living, our water will become from bitterness into sweet. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow, there are so many items here. I cannot speak one by one. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Four, say. Three, anything that we do independently of the law is a principle or the truth of knowledge. We all know that if we depend something other than the law, that is the principle or the truth of knowledge. Four said, every genuine believer in Christ is a miniature of Garden of Eden, with God as a tree of life in his spirit and Satan as a tree of knowledge in his flesh. Amen. So, Romans 8:2 says that if we mind the sins on the flesh, we will have the sin and death. But we set our mind on the spirit, we have life and peace. Today, we are in the Garden of Eden. We are the miniature of the Garden of Eden. Whenever you turn to your spirit spontaneously, you will receive the supply from the tree of life. But whenever we do not care for our spirit, we are like a soulish person, a person without any spirit, then we will live in death and sin. So, praise the Lord, we need to turn to our spirit every moment and every day. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. See, read together, amen. A river of water alive. Amen. Four directions of the earth. That means the people surrounded us. If we enjoy the Lord, if we enjoy Him as a river of water alive, then spontaneously, this water will flow from us for the four corners. You know, the New Jerusalem is a square, a city of square. It has four corners, and there's only one water flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And this water of life flowing to reach four corners of the city. What does that mean? That means if you are a person who enjoys the water of life, the people surrounding you, your neighbors, your colleague, your friends, your relative, your parents, your daughter, they will receive the supply from the river of water of life. Amen. So praise the Lord. We need to turn to our spirit to enjoy Him at the river of water of life now. Amen. Amen. Okay, D, read together. Amen. At the flow of the river, there are three kinds of precious material. Amen. Three kinds of precious material. Okay, I want to stop here because most message will center on this point, and Marty will continue to share. But today, I really feel that it's a privilege for us to know this matter, the central line of the Bible. Amen. If we stay in the central line of the Bible, amen, the shortest line, the direct line, the central line, then eventually we will become the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is not a heaven, as some Christians call. It's not a place for us to enter in the future, but no, when we turn to our spirit. When you enjoy the process, train God, then we will work out the New Jerusalem. And we will become the New Jerusalem. And this will last for eternity.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the central line. Amen. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. Amen. For the triune God. Amen. For the economy of God. Amen. The economy of God is focused on the all-inclusive Christ. And the all-inclusive Christ is realized as the life-giving Spirit. And the Spirit has come and embodies the body of Christ. And the body of Christ finally consummates in the
New Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like to put Livingstone's picture in a little different format. Same picture, different view. Here in the beginning, you have the garden. And it's a straight line, but you end up with the city. And we know that this is in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1 and 2. And this is at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 21 and 22. All right? And you can say, this is the blueprint. And what is this? This is the masterpiece. Okay? So on one hand, this is the desire in the beginning, and this is the goal. On the other hand, this city actually is just a reflection of what was in the beginning, in the garden. So everything you see in the garden, you see in the city. So actually what Livingstone shared on this, if you look back to Roman numeral 3, it says in Genesis 1 and 2, we have an organic blueprint, right? This is the blueprint here in Genesis 1 and 2. That's the architectural plan of the triune God. Then in Revelation 21 and 22, we have the finished product. It's not a physical city. It's an organic masterpiece of the triune God. That's the glorious city, the holy city that the Bible talks about at the end. Then, if you go through these few items here, A through E, what do you see in the very beginning? You see, man. Man is a vessel to contain God, to contact him, to enjoy him, to express him. What do you see at the end of the Bible? You still see the tripartite man. Right? You see a man that's been regenerated, that's been transformed, and that's been glorified. And eventually, this man, this city, is a full expression of the triune God in this tripartite man. Okay? Then if you look at B, what do you see? It's very interesting. You think, wow, in the garden there's a tree. And letter B. And letter C says there's a river. There's a tree and there's a river in the garden. Guess what there is at the end? This is just a reflection of what's in the beginning. Right? So at the end in the city, there's also a tree. There's a tree of life. And there's a river of water of life at the end of the Bible. So if you want to know what is on God's heart, number one, you have to look at the blueprint. You need to study the blueprint. And then you need to take a look at the masterpiece. But some of us maybe are dull. And we don't have much appreciation. You know, I have an older sister who's a master's in art. She has a master's in art. One time I took her to the art museum in Chicago. And we were down there looking around at some of the masterpieces. And I had very little appreciation. And my sister, I could hardly get her out of that place because she had full appreciation. How does she get it? It's because she spent so much time learning and studying and enjoying art and knowing all the masterpieces. Okay, so how about us? We might think about the New Jerusalem. We look at it. There's so many points. You know, we don't have too much appreciation. our appreciation needs to go up. Right? We need to realize, wow, there is an how about even that word, organic? There's an organic masterpiece in this universe. And we need to look at it for a while and study it and consider it and know it. And eventually you begin to realize, hey, I'm in that picture. Right? Man is in that picture. And there's a river there. I always like the real simple art pieces with pretty trees and a river and maybe a mountain. Anyway, this is the most glorious picture. There's a river. There's a river flowing. And there's a tree, a vine tree, so rich, so flourishing. Okay, what else? This city is full of gold and precious materials. And what else? Pearl. Okay, maybe you like pearls. Some of you sisters may like pearls. All right, this city is full of pearls. Even the gates are just full of pearls. All right? Anyway, this whole city is gold. It's full of gold. And it's full of precious stones. Okay. Then, it's a very romantic city. There's a couple in the beginning. And there's a couple at the end. And this couple at the end is just a reflection of the couple at the beginning. Okay? You can say, I think it's probably much more sweet here at the end. Right, it's very romantic. You have the couple of the whole universe. Right? You have the most lovely bridegroom in the whole universe is exhibited here. And this lovely bridegroom has the most beautiful and adorned bride there ever was. Amen. Right? So, what a picture. Right? But how can you call this a city? Right? This is not only a universal couple. This is the real Eve and the real Adam. Right? This is the corporate God-man. Right? This is God mingled with man. This is a wonderful city full of treasure. Full of life, all right? Well, how do you get from here to here? Well, I'd like to tell you a little story. You know, in the last couple of weeks, I found out right across the street from my house, there's a school. Of course, I didn't find that out. I'd known that for a while. But I found out they're expanding it. They're expanding the school. But, you know, for the first several days, the workers would show up in the morning, and they would come there, and there's these men walking around with white hats, you know, with the construction hats, and they just seemed to not do anything, right? They're just walking around, and I'm just watching them out my window. What are they going to do, right? In fact, I thought there was a very large, beautiful tree right there. And initially I thought, oh, these guys are going to cut that tree down. So I was just watching. Then I began to realize after time went on, no, they're leaving the tree. They're building something. They're going to build onto the school. Okay, well, you think about it. Livingstone said, our God is a great architect and a great builder. And initially we have no idea what is on his heart. What is this going to look like? We don't even know what he's doing, right? But eventually, some blueprints came out, okay? And fortunately, in any building project, you have those who know how to read the blueprints, right? And it seems like, for a long time, they're not doing anything. Actually, they're very busy. What are they doing? They're studying the blueprints, right? They're really considering what is the blueprint for the building. So you consider us. What are we doing? Well, you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, according to the grace of God given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation and another builds upon it. But then he says, but let each man take heed how he builds upon it. Okay, so maybe Joseph could come here. Okay. Now, we might look at Joseph, and if I asked you, who is he or what is he? What would be your first answer, Max? Okay, he's a man. He's a brother. He's a son. Okay, what is it? What's his occupation? He's a student. But what's his occupation in God's eyes? He's a builder. Okay, but most of the time, we don't consider each other in that manner. Right? We look at, oh, Joseph, he's just a student. Right? We look at Ken, he's a full-time worker. He's a worker, he's a builder. But Joseph, he's just a student. But actually, that's not true. The Bible says, let each man take heed. Consider how he builds. So it's a fact. Yes, Joseph is a student. But actually, in God's eyes, what should he really be doing? He's building. Amen. He's doing construction. Amen. So on one hand, he goes to class every day and sits in a class with maybe a pen and some paper and some books. But actually, what is he really doing? He's on a construction site. Amen. He's building. Amen. He's building at Northwestern. He's building. Okay? Thank you. So how about you? The Bible says, let each man take heed how he builds. So, you know, we talk a lot about there's no clergy, there's no laity in the church life. Well, depends. How do you consider yourself? You might think, well, some brothers, they're responsible. They're the builders of the church. Actually, that's not true, right? Who are the builders? We all are the builders. And we are building. What are we building? We're building not even just a small little project. We're building a whole city. Amen. And this is the largest city probably that ever was. Yeah. Right? I heard now in China the population is growing so great and so fast. And the economy is growing so quickly that not only are they building new buildings and new dwelling places, but actually they've gone to some places where there was not even a city, and they built a whole brand new city. Okay? So, how about us? Maybe the young people play that game. I don't know if it's still around. It used to be when my kids were growing up, Sim City, right? Where electronically or on a video you can build a city. But actually we're building a real city. Right? So how do we build? Paul said we should take heed how we build. We have to build, number one, by reading the blueprints. So some should begin to wonder, I wonder, what is Max really up to? What's he really doing? Sometimes I see him, he's not reading his school books. Looks like he's reading something else. What is he reading? We should say, he's reading the blueprint. We all need to spend time to read the blueprint, to get in the Word, to know what is on the Lord's desire. So if you see, look at Roman numeral 4. It says, according to the entire revelation of the New Testament, the unique goal of the Christian work should be the New Jerusalem, which is the ultimate goal of God's eternal economy. So what are we doing? We are all workers. We're all on the job, on the construction site. We are all building, and we are building a glorious city, the New Jerusalem. Amen. Okay, A says, the triune God who passed through all the processes, the all-inclusive Christ who was incarnated to die and resurrect, and the life-giving Spirit who was consummated to indwell us, all take the New Jerusalem as their goal. What is the goal of the triune God? The New Jerusalem. So what should be our goal? The New Jerusalem. The Father as the fountain, the Son as the spring, and the Spirit as the flowing river all take the New Jerusalem as their eternal goal. So here's a problem in C. And actually, sometimes it's all of our problems. First of all, sometimes we don't even realize we're workers. We don't even realize you are a builder. And every day, we are building. We are building. Actually, you're building something whether you think you are or not, whether you realize you are or not. You might be building a big garbage heap, right? Or you're building something that will stand, and like Livingstone said, will be eternal, something that will remain. So even in Corinthians it says, one day our building work will be tested. And if it passes through the fire and goes into eternity, that'll be a real reward, right? That'll be a real blessing. But if we are building with something contrary to what was in the blueprints, then we're in trouble. So the people across the street from me, they're building this building, and right away when I saw it started to go up, I didn't like what I saw. So I was going to go put a sign on it, ugly. But anyway, began to realize better not do that. But what are they building? It's not up to me. It's they have to follow the blueprint. So sometimes we like to change things around. We like to adjust things, maybe make the church life a little bit different according to our taste. Actually, it's not up to us. The blueprint's already set. We have to follow the blueprints. Right? And we also, in this building, it's quite unique. You get to look, if you read Revelation 21 and 22, you see the masterpiece. Actually, we're way back here still. We're still building, but we see it. And that's why we need to spend time in Revelation 21 and 22 to look at it. And like Brother shared yesterday, sometimes we need to be adjusted. Sometimes not only your journey is taking you off, but you're building. You might be building away, and then all of a sudden you look at the blueprint or you look at the masterpiece, and you think, whoa, it doesn't match. It's not the same. So you might have to tear down a little bit and go back to the blueprint and start over. So C says, the degradation of the church is mainly due to the fact that nearly all the Christian workers are distracted to take many things other than the New Jerusalem as their goal. So it's very easy for all of us to get saved, to get born again, and then desire, I like to serve, I want to serve God. Okay, then we start marching off to build something up, but we never even looked at the blueprint. And we had no idea. We never even looked at the masterpiece. So, therefore, all kinds of degradation came in out of men's imaginations on what they think that would be satisfying to God. So, D says, under the degradation of the church, we need to be overcomers, answering the Lord's call to overcome not only the negative things, but even more the positive things, which replace the New Jerusalem as the goal. Amen. An overcomer's goal should be uniquely and ultimately the goal of God's eternal economy, that is the New Jerusalem. Amen. So, we want to consider here briefly, what is this city? What does this city look like? Right? What was in the original blueprints? And how should we be building? What is it going to look like? So actually, this next Roman numeral helps us. It says the New Jerusalem, what is it? Let's read this together. Roman numeral 5, let's read together.
The New Jerusalem is the Son of God, the divine Trinity, as three basic factors, brought into
Okay. Now, we don't think that word structure sounds real spiritual, but actually, there's a building going on, right? A structure is being built. Okay, we know, since this city is a universal couple, since this city is God mingled with man, this is not a physical structure. This is something organic. This is something divine. So when someone says, "What are you building? Where is it? I'd like to see it." It's hard to show them, right? Not only the building, but even the whole city. You tell someone, I'm a city builder. I thought that actually people ask me, "What do you do?" Sometimes hard to answer. But this morning I got a good answer. I'm a blueprint reader. And I'm a city builder. Right? That's what we're doing. We're reading the blueprints and building a city. Okay, well, this city has a few things. Number one, it has a structure. Okay? And it's very interesting. This structure is a threefold structure. Okay? Has a base. It has gates. And it has a wall. Okay? So actually, I was watching the building going on across the street from me. They spent a whole lot of time laying a foundation. Okay? But eventually, some walls start going up. Okay? But if you got a city with a base and with a wall, but no doors, you got problems. All right? You need an entrance. So these three things are very significant. If you study the city, what is it? This base is just full of gold, right? The gates are pearls, and the wall is filled with precious stones. Okay? Now, what is this? We know in the Bible, gold signifies God the Father in his divine nature. Right? Only he is the incorruptible one. The pearls signify the Son, the one who entered in, who came and joined the human race, who came into the death waters like an oyster and was wounded and secreted his life to produce something very precious. And that's us through regeneration. And through his work of life imparting, pearls were produced. And we know that the precious stones are the work of the Spirit in his transforming work. So what do the walls, or what does the base do? This base is full of gold. The base is mostly for our walking. Right? You need something to walk on. We need to walk on the gold, on the divine nature. And what are the gates? The gates are for entering. And what are the precious stones? Are for expressing. This is the basic structure. So we should think about it. Are you building? Are you building? Amen. What are you building with? Well, the Bible says we could possibly be building with just the opposite of these, with wood, with hay, and with straw, right? Something of earthly things, just a natural man. So if I think I'm a worker, I'm a builder, and I build by just being a nice guy and being friendly to people and giving them all my good ideas and being very imaginative and coming up with creative things. You can say, what is that? Where's the gold? Where's the work of the Son in his death and resurrection? Where's the transforming precious stones, right? That we could walk in a certain way and we could be an entrance. Actually, you know what this city is? It's really something. This city is not only our goal, but this city is what we should be here today personally. You should be a miniature of the New Jerusalem. And every local church should be a miniature of the New Jerusalem. So when people touch you, they should touch something divine. And they should touch something of life imparting of the Son. And something very precious, that there's been something of transformation take place. Right? Okay. Now how about the furnishings? So, if you go to a city and there's no houses and there's no lights, you're not too sure you want to go there, right? So we need furnishings. We need, in this city, there are also three furnishings. Okay? What are they? There's a throne in this city. There's a temple in this city. Another word for temple is a palace. And thirdly, there's an oil lamp in this city. So the throne is the Father. He's the one on the throne. The temple says the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple. That's the Son. And we know the oil is the shining of the Spirit. Okay, so here, the throne, what do you have here? You have reigning. And what do you have here? You have the temple. You have dwelling. And what do you have here? You have shining. Okay? Actually, come back here to the structure, the wall. You think about the wall. What does the wall do? The wall separates, keeps certain things out. And you know, you read it in the New Jerusalem, there's mention, some have no part of the city, and some things are kept out of the city. So, how does that take place? It's through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And we need this going on today. So when ones come to us, they feel like we are completely open to anything and everything. You say, no, no, that's not true. Right? We should not be. And so we need the work of the Spirit. We need the sanctifying going on, that some things will be kept out. Right? We need the reigning. In Romans 5, it says, we need the reigning. Those who receive the abundance of grace will reign in life. Amen. Right? Reign over sin and over death and over idols and over the world. What are all these things? These things have no part in the city. So if we're here going along and we're on our journey and we're building, and we're still filled with sin and the world and self and idols, you can say, those things are not going to end up in the city. So they need to be purged out. All right? We need a sanctifying work that the wall would be built up. Amen. Right? And that the throne would be established in us, that there'd be the real reigning going on in us. And then the priest, you know, it's very interesting. It says God dwells in the tabernacle and the priests dwell in the temple, right? So what are we doing in our serving? We are serving as priests in the temple. So we need to Like in John 15, we need to abide in the Lord, and the Lord abides in us. So especially, like the brother shared yesterday, when we're considering the God-ordained way in our practice of preaching the gospel and shepherding people and going forth, we need to make sure that when we do that, we're in the temple. Let's stay in the temple. Stay in the sun, right? And then our work is to shine. It's not just something that's going to all of a sudden appear in the next age, but this should be our testimony and our experience in this age. Amen. That we are luminaries that are shining in the world. Amen. And the church as a whole is a lampstand. Today we are the children of the light. Amen. Okay, then finally, how about the supply of the city? So you think about it, if you build a city and has no water supply, it's not going to work. We need water in this city. And in order to get around, you need streets. But this city is pretty unique. It only has one street. And it has one river. And that river just keeps flowing. Right? So, what do we have? We have a street. And we have a tree. There's only one tree in this whole city. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a city. It's got a vine tree going throughout the whole city. And it's also got a river. Okay? So what is the street? Is the Father's. Again, it's a street of gold. The tree is the Son, the tree of life, and the river is the Spirit. So one thing's very clear after you look at this. What is this city? This city is just the triune God. Amen. It's the triune God mingled with man. It's the Father, Son, Spirit as a structure. The Father, Son, Spirit as the furnishing. Right. And the Father, Son, Spirit as the supply. Amen. So what is the street? Street is doing a work of regulating. I was telling Mevin this morning, we have this hymn. It says, liberating spirit now. We love that part. But then it says, regulating spirit now. We don't love that part. Right? Anyway, the Spirit is not only nourishing like the tree. The trees is nourishing, right? So supplying. And the river is so satisfying. Right? But we have to stay on the street. So we are considering which comes first. Get on the street and you drink the river and enjoy the tree. Or you enjoy the river and the tree and then you're on the street. It's hard to say. All right, we need both. Amen. Sometimes when we're just totally unregulated, we have to deal with the Lord, come back, align ourselves with the headship, with the ruling, the regulating. And then we have the real supply, the real satisfying flow of life. Okay? And we also have the real nourishing tree. Okay, how about brothers, read A under 5. Okay, it says the sisters read with a strong spirit. B.
The second main aspect of the new Jerusalem is seen in its furnishing, with the reigning center of the Father, signified by the throne, the abiding place of the Son, signified by the temple, and the inviting and shining light of the Spirit, signified by the oil of the Lord.
And let's all read C. And D, let's read D all together.
Thus the entire constitution of the New Jerusalem is a process and consecrated triune God, filled with his regenerated, transformed, and glorified elect in his divine trinity in a threefold way.
Amen. So Roman numeral 6 says, as co-workers and elders, that's who this training was for, but this should apply to all of us, as builders. We must have the realization that we are living out the New Jerusalem to become the New Jerusalem, and we are working out the New Jerusalem to build the New Jerusalem. So what are we doing? We're becoming the New Jerusalem, and we're working it out. We're living it out, and we're working it out. We're building. So we have to really look at this, the blueprint and the masterpiece. And keep our eye on it and consider, how are we building? Is what we're doing, is how we're living, is how we're building in our preaching the gospel, in shepherding others, in prophesying, in building up, and in our group meetings, and in every way, is this going on? Right? Is the triune God totally involved? Is he being mingled with us? Right? Is there this here happening? Then we are building what will end up to be something eternal. So, A, we must adorn and consummate the New Jerusalem with God the Father as its golden base, God the Son as its pearl gates, and God the Spirit for the wall of precious stones, by drinking the Spirit, the flowing triune God, as the river of water of life, and eating Christ, the overcoming lion lamb, as the tree of life with his rich and fresh supply. Amen. So how about sisters, read number one. Okay, this adorning. When the bride gets prepared, this adorning is going on now. Right, that there'd be something very precious, a bride made ready. Brothers, two. Okay, so where are we? It says B, even today, the New Jerusalem is still under construction. We are building up the body of Christ for the building of the New Jerusalem. So today, each of us individually is a work in progress, right? Something should be going on, part of this building of the New Jerusalem. And as a local church, each of the local churches, we are constructing, we are building up the New Jerusalem. So how about brothers number one, sisters number two? Okay, let's conclude this fellowship before we do the prophesying. Let's sing the song on the back of the announcement sheet. Maybe Kevin, could you play this one? So let's sing this song, and then how about we have several come up and share something. Just share one point, something short and life imparting, and do the building work. Amen.